So do you ever wonder whether God notices you? You ever wonder whether God notices you? Most of us are familiar with that song, Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Most of us know this song, and most of us have sung those lyrics. And while I think most will agree that Jesus does care for those around us, I think that sometimes we question whether he really notices us. Does God actually see us, listen to us, pay attention to us? This past week, I attended the ministerial prayer meeting. It's just held down the road. At that meeting, there was a pastor who had just returned from a mission trip up near the Arctic Circle. And when I arrived a little late, he was already telling a story about an answered prayer, a successful moose hunt. Now, not many of us have ever prayed for a successful moose hunt. Not many of us have ever prayed for moose, but we don't live in the far, far north, nor depend on hunting for our food. I think we can all imagine that a freezer full of moose meat can make a big difference in the lives of those who are poor. So anyways, this pastor was telling this story about an answered prayer. But what made this story interesting was the boldness and specificity of his request. I mean, they prayed for a dry cow that was accessible from the road, before they had to be at a church event, during a season where few hunters were having any success at all. They prayed this bold, specific prayer a number of times. Now, not long later, they spotted one moose, but the shot was, well, too long and it was too far from the road. So they decided to press on, even though there was little likelihood of finding another. But then they saw something that looked like a truck on the horizon. As they closed in, they realized it wasn't a truck. It was their dry cow, the one they had been praying for. It was close to the road. They had a good shot, and they successfully dropped it. It was so big that it had to be cut into 9 pieces for the men to carry it away. Now, the pastor who told this story to us, well, for him, it was certainly an act of God's provision. God was clearly looking out for them. But you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, hey, pastor, could you pray for me? I mean, there's been something I've been praying about for weeks, and I'm not sure God has taken any notice of that. Seems like he's listening to you. Well, have you ever felt that maybe Jesus has his favorites, that while he seems to be listening to some, he's not returning your calls? We don't always understand God's sovereign will, why God says yes or no or not now. Some prayers do seem to be effective. They were told he was a lost cause when they brought him into emergency, but 2 weeks later, he is better than ever, all smiles. Some prayers seem effective, while others seem impotent. Despite extraordinary measures, despite all the praying that was sent out right across the internet, across the world, her health just continues to decline. We don't always understand God's sovereign will, and I think that we imagine it has something to do with the prayer. I mean, God just notices some people while maybe ignoring others. Or we think it has something to do with the prayer. I mean, did it make you nervous that I wasn't actually naming those specific items that you raised? Sometimes we feel that we have to just get the words right. Well, the first of today's gospel stories could encourage this sort of thinking. I mean, when you consider that centurion asking for his slave to be healed, well, he just seems so deserving. I mean, first of all, he's important. A centurion was a Roman officer with great responsibility. He had oversight over as many as 100 men and received pay commensurate to his responsibilities. He was important. He was wealthy. But not just that, he's also respected. While he is a Gentile, an outsider, he has befriended the Jewish people, even built their synagogue. And so when he's in need, his Jewish friends lobby Jesus, saying that the centurion is a worthy man. A worthy man. But more than just being powerful or respected, this centurion is a man who has great trust, great confidence in Jesus. When Jesus heads for the centurion's home, the centurion messages Jesus not to bother, saying that it would be sufficient for Jesus to just say the word. If you go through the Gospels, it's always people who are amazed by Jesus. But here, there's something different. Here, Jesus is amazed. Jesus is amazed by the centurion. "Not even in Israel have I found such faith," he says. As we anticipated, the centurion's slave is healed. Looks like he deserved it. Now, the story of the centurion does help us realize that there is often great faith, outside our tight, closed religious circles. The story of the centurion helps us see that Jesus wants to cross these boundaries. But the story of the centurion doesn't go far in inspiring our prayer life. I don't know about you, but this centurion makes me feel small, inadequate. I mean, I don't have his faith, or his respect, or his power. Well, if you're like me, you'll be happy that today's reading includes another story. Another story that might challenge those fears that God isn't interested in us. In the second story, Jesus' entourage comes across a funeral procession. It's a particularly sad procession. You see, a young man is dead. Amid the crowd of mourners, Jesus notices the young man's mom, a widow. Unlike the centurion of the previous story, this person is vulnerable. I mean, she's already lost her husband and is now burying her only son. In the patriarchal culture of the first century Roman Empire, widows were dependent on their sons, brothers, or other male relatives for sustenance. But with this son dead, there's no longer any man in the house. Added to that, we hear nothing about her being highly regarded or respected, and there is no mention of her faith, other than the obvious, that she doesn't bother asking Jesus for help. But what happens? What happens in this story? Well, we are told that Jesus notices her, and that when he sees her, he has compassion for her. One commentator notes how the Greek word usually translated compassion, splagchnomai, comes from splachna, which means intestines, which speaks of a deep, gut-wrenching compassion. All to say that Jesus notices the widow and feels the pain of her suffering. And then he does two things that no one would expect. First, he touches the bier, the frame on which the corpse was laying. I mean, touching the corpse or the bier or even the bearers themselves would make you religiously unclean. Jesus was willing to risk that. And then secondly, even more astonishingly, Jesus tells the young man to get up. No one there would have dreamed of this. I mean, he was dead. all possibilities for healing had long passed. And so they are shocked and dumbfounded when the young man stirs and arises. Jesus presents the once dead, now alive man to his mom, and the freaked out crowd starts shouting, "God has looked favorably on his people." God has looked favorably on his people. God notices us. Now, please don't start thinking that today's lesson is that we should all expect great miracles. Often, God's presence is revealed in smaller, less discernible ways. Acts of kindness, words of encouragement, tender mercies, small graces. But what is clear from the story is that God notices even the least of us. That God notices us and has compassion for us and does intervene. God is moved. We hear this in today's lesson, and we see this in the story of the Lord's table. I mean, God didn't ignore a woman, ignore a world that was broken and confused. No, God sent his only son, Jesus. And God didn't send Jesus just to a small minority that deserved him. I mean, remember what the good centurion said to Jesus, the one we thought, you know, maybe deserved this miracle? This is what the centurion says, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy." God didn't send us Jesus because any of us actually deserved it. God sent Jesus because God is full of compassion. God's character is mercy and compassion. God cares about his people's needs. And so even the least of us, those with little faith or respect or power, can look to God with faith and with boldness. For ultimately, it's not the prayer or the prayer that motivates God's kindness. It's God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen.